Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I hope the singing tonight encouraged you as it did me. I find myself often thinking after the worship services how timely it was for me to be here. And it always encourages me so much to be with you. And I'm so thankful for this church here. There's something about walking with good men that does a lot of good for whoever does it. I think back to when I was really young, growing up, my dad and I would go walking all the time, and often our sister or my sister would be with us. And Dad would talk to us about all kinds of things. Sometimes it was just about school. Sometimes it was about baseball or going camping next week or something like that. But a lot of the time it was about life. And I remember even before I was attracted to girls, when I thought girls were gross, Dad talked to me about the kind of girl I needed to marry and things like that. And he talked to me about God a lot. And he told me Bible stories. And he showed me what it was like to be a man of God. And I'm so thankful for him, so thankful for the example I had in my father, and continue to have. And although certainly I'm closer to my father, who lives in Athens, Alabama, than really to any other man like that, in a sense, I have had multiple fathers, spiritual fathers, like Paul talks about. And I think of Walker Davis, and I think of, I don't know how many dozens of miles we walked together last year. Just getting up early in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock or even earlier sometimes, and just going for a walk and walking several miles. And that did me so much good. There's something about walking. You just kind of, you start feeling closer to somebody. And you open up and you talk about things that matter. And I think about the time I spent in Guatemala staying with a man named Geronimo. And that name sounds kind of humorous to us, but he was only about 5'2", but I've never felt so small next to anyone else. We walked all around the small community where he lived, and that was such a blessing to me, and he talked to me about all kinds of things. He was a spiritual giant, and I'm so thankful for the men that the Lord has placed in my life, and I'm sure that you are for the men that he has placed in yours. And if you're a lady, I'm sure you're thankful for the spiritual mothers that you've had, the ones that have spent time with you, the ones that have talked to you about things that mattered. The reason it's such a blessing to spend time with these men, walking with them, is because they've walked with God. In Genesis chapter 3, not a very pleasant episode in the history of mankind, but in verse 8, I just want to read the first part of that verse. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I take from that 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 was not an extraordinary occurrence, that maybe that was something they did often, that they walked with the Lord. In the beginning, God literally walked with man in the garden. Adam and Eve could hear the sound of his footsteps, the footsteps of God Almighty. They walked and they talked together. And can you imagine the conversations they must have had? The eternal significance of those conversations, we can only imagine. What a privilege they had to walk with the Creator. And if you go on to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Actually, beginning in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In these generations, these genealogies, we don't have a whole lot of information about the persons that are recorded there. But there's one person that stands out above the rest, and it's Enoch. Because we know that he walked with the Lord for 300 years. We don't know much about Mahalalel or Jared, but we know that Enoch walked with the Lord 300 years. And I imagine how close they must have been. You know, I spent maybe 18 years in the household of my father. And I got so close to him. And we shared so many things. But Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And how united in purpose they must have become. How close. Someone has imagined it this way. And I first heard it from Josh Carter, so he may have been the one that came up with it. But one day Enoch and God were walking together, and God said to Enoch, you know, why don't you just come to my house today? And that's what he did. And he left the earth. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God when no one else was doing that. He lived in an evil and corrupt generation. It must have been so difficult maintaining his faith, walking with God day after day when no one else was. But Noah could do it because the Lord sustained him. God and Noah must have been very close after walking together for hundreds of years, just like Enoch did. If we go to Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning in verse 5, we learn a little bit more about these men, Enoch and Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Here in Hebrews we have more information about Enoch and Noah. Enoch received testimony of having pleased the Lord. And the following verse explains how he got that testimony. I don't think there's any better testimony that we could have asked of ourselves, but that we had pleased the Lord. In verse 6, it talks about, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must believe that God is, and that he will reward those who come to him, who diligently seek him. That's what Enoch did. He had faith to come close to God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's necessary to have faith in the Lord to walk with him. You know, you don't just walk with anyone. The people that you choose to walk with, to spend intimate time with, they're people that you trust, people that you maybe even look up to, but people that you are confident it's going to be a good thing for you to spend time with them. You have faith in them. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul shows an extraordinary amount of faith. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. He later says in this book, in this short letter, that everyone had forsaken him. He was about to die. But he says, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced in his character. The Apostle Paul shows the attitude that we need to have. It's the attitude of confidence that comes from a firm persuasion, conviction in God, faith in his existence and power. When we have this attitude, we're like Noah or like Enoch, and we can please the Lord. Do you have the confidence that Paul had? It may be challenging to say that we do. I'm not sure that I could. But that's our object in life. In Mark chapter 9, in verse 14, there's a story of a man. Who says something, I think, very interesting. And something that I find myself saying often. Verse 14, it says, when they came back to the disciples, this is after the transfiguration, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, What are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And later we see Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and it was cast out of him. But I think pretty often we find ourselves like this man. We have some faith, but we need more. But it's essential to have that faith to walk with the Lord. We have to have it. And we need to understand that. I had a lot of other passages, but I'm afraid I might go long. So I'm going to go to Hosea chapter 11. For me, this is one of the saddest passages of the Bible. It's such a tender passage where you can see the pain that God feels. Over the sins of his people Israel. But in Hosea 11 and verse 1, God says, When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. And I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria, he will be their king because they refuse to return to me. The sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. God had taught his people how to walk. In verse 3, he says, It is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms. And you think of a father, and when their child is first learning to walk, and they're holding out their hands, just waiting for that little child to come to them. That's what God did with Ephraim. But instead of learning to walk and then walking with God, they learned how to walk, and they walked away from God. And the Lord had to punish them and destroy them. In the same way, God has taught us to walk. He has given us his word. He has led us spiritually. What are we going to do? Are we going to walk with our Father, or are we going to walk away from him? The choice is ours, and the benefits are so great of walking with him. And we just sang so much about the blessings that we have in a relationship with the Lord. He created us to have a relationship with him, to walk with him like Adam and Eve, Enoch and Noah. If you don't have that relationship, and we can help you, please let someone know here before you leave tonight, if you've never begun that. And if maybe you were walking with him for a while, but whatever happened, you know,